We're continuing to focus on hanging solutions and creating innovative products that are unique to Yellow Leaf and make it possible for people to have a hammock wherever they want to relax.
I'm your host, Dave Knox, and this is Predicting the Turn, a show that helps business leaders meet their industry's inevitable disruption head on.
Welcome to another episode of Predicting the Turn. Today, we sit down with Joe Demon, who is the Chief Relaxation Officer of Yellow Leaf Hammocks. Joe, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
Hey, looking forward to diving in. So why don't we start with the founding story behind Yellow Leaf Hammocks?
Yeah, absolutely. The founding story behind Yellow Leaf Hammocks started with a wild adventure. I was initially traveling with some friends throughout Thailand, and while on a remote island, I came across a ridiculously comfy hammock. And as I jumped into it, I was immediately struck by how much more comfortable it was than what I had experienced back home in America. And so I started asking some questions about this hammock, thinking that it was maybe commercially available across Thailand, and it was like some sort of brand in Southeast Asia. And what I learned was that it was woven by an endangered hill tribe group that, with the help of an aid worker, was trying to forge a path out of poverty in their village, and that hammocks were starting to have some positive impact by creating jobs in this little community. And I heard that story, and it really stuck with me through the rest of the trip. And about a week later, I couldn't get it out of my head, and I decided to ditch my friends, and I took a 600-mile cab ride to the jungle village where the hammocks were made, because I wanted to meet the ape who was working with the Malabri Hill Tribe group to make these hammocks. And so as I traveled there and I got there, what I saw was extraordinary. I saw that people were able to make hammocks on their own terms in their homes, and that the sale of these hammocks through that one little shop was having tremendous impact. For example, the Malabri tribe was on UNESCO's endangered languages list. They were on the brink of extinction. They were actually being exploited and trapped in indentured servitude, clearing forest land for more powerful neighboring tribes who were not much better off than they were. And so extreme poverty was a real issue. And I was familiar with extreme poverty and a lot of the issues in rural, remote parts of the world. But what I found extraordinary about what they were doing was that they were not relying on charity. They were actually creating something that had value and trying to sell it and trying to create income. And that I saw as an opportunity to create far more lasting impact. And so I felt really inspired. I was on the cusp of going to business school, and I came back home to my girlfriend, now wife and business partner, with a backpack stuffed with hammocks and this crazy idea. And we decided to go for it. And so it spun out of that trip.
You came back, backpack full of hammocks, telling your now wife that, hey, we should go do this. How'd you start? Did you find the weavers that were making it? Like, how'd you figure out how to do this?
So once I returned from this trip, and Rachel had a chance to actually try out the hammocks to see that I was not crazy, and they were, in fact, really comfy and stylish looking, we decided to validate that other people also thought the same thing. And so on the weekends, we would work at various craft fairs around New England. We were living in Boston at the time, and we would sell hammocks, essentially. We bought a couple more hammocks, enough to be able to sell on the weekend. And we really wanted to test the idea behind the product and not so much the story and the impact, because we realized early on that in order for this to be successful and sustaining, people needed to buy the hammocks and be attracted to them for the same reason that I was initially, which was how much more comfortable they were. And we just started selling hammocks out of the back of our Volkswagen, actually, the first couple of years, traveling around while we had our day jobs. And we heard the same thing over and over again from people. They would ask the same questions that I had asked when I came across the hammock. And we realized that there was a real need for a better, more relaxing hammock, that there was no innovation there. And so initially, until we were able to release our brand. And so just started with a very much like bootstrap mentality and hustling on the weekends and very organic, slow growth.
When you started doing this then, how did you communicate what really stood apart and made this hammock so unique and different?
So we would communicate what made our hammocks different after someone had already tried it out. We had essentially a demo when we were selling it. And then people would ask the questions. And so it was a very natural flow, because we weren't really like pulling people in and explaining the textile engineering and all the technical aspects. It was more like people would try it out and be like, oh my God, I feel like I'm floating. And in fact, the thing that, like, no joke, at least one out of three people says is, I feel like I'm back in the womb. And then this is like incredible moment. And so people would then ask questions about, tell me more about the yarn. Does it hold up outdoors? How is it, like, why is it so comfy? And then we would share more based on those questions.
So with that in mind, as you started expanding, one of the things that you did to grow this business is went on Shark Tank. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, that was a wild experience for us. We had been growing the company very organically up to that point, very bootstrapped, had not taken any outside investment. And Shark Tank actually reached out to us and invited us to apply to be on the show. And once we went on, the response since has been incredible. Obviously, we were able to secure our, if you're familiar with the episode, we raised $1 million investment from Kind Snacks founder Daniel Lubetsky. And for our size business at the time, $1 million was like life-changing. So having that as a resource to be able to accelerate growth really set us on the path we're on now.
And so with that in mind, what's that partnership with Lubetsky look like, and how's it really transformed your business?
So I'm still in awe of how amazing it has worked out for us, having found an investor who's so like-minded, out of all places being Shark Tank. Daniel Lubetsky is a fellow social entrepreneur. Kind started out as a social impact initiative. There's a lot of parallels with how Daniel grew in that it took him about 10 years before Kind started turning that corner and seeing this explosive growth that he's now known for. We've been on a very similar kind of prolonged slow growth approach without necessarily the goal of selling the business or anything like that. It's very much about creating impact in a business that will be around for decades and hopefully centuries. And that mentality from an investor is really important for us, not putting any pressure on us other than supporting us however we need.
Talent is a big part of predicting the turn. And as we talk about talent, I wanted to mention one of our sponsors, Hunt Club. Imagine the power of the best marketers in the world helping you to find your next marketing leader. That's the power of Hunt Club. Hunt Club is a new category of talent company that powers the network of experts, connectors, and business leaders to help you find the best talent. Let's face it, recruiting hasn't changed with the times. Hunt Club is changing the recruiting game by leveraging technology and crowdsourced referrals to find you the best people possible for your company. Stop paying job boards that don't work or recruiting firms that recycle the same active candidates. Partner with Hunt Club.
Building on that, I know you've talked about you're on a mission to put a hammock in every home. But a lot of the reasons people don't buy hammocks is they're difficult to hang. Or am I putting it between trees? Am I using this ugly kind of stand that exists? How have you guys overcome that problem and that kind of insight from consumers?
Yeah, I would say you're right on. The largest problem with having a hammock these days is how to hang it. And so we looked at coming up with our own inventive ways that were actually truly solving a problem, introducing hanging solutions that fit with people's lifestyles and focused on innovation that ensures that the hammock fits within today's environment. We introduced our first product, which took several years of development and honestly, well over $250,000 of R&D. We invented the hammock throne. The idea with that first product was to create something with a small footprint that could really fit into a variety of places, from the poolside, backyard, a small patio, even in your living room. We wanted to actually bring the hammock indoors and make it a part of your home decor and furniture inside your house as well. We started with that, our first innovation. And then we've continued expanding that product line, most recently introducing essentially a portable version of the hammock throne, which is the Vista, which allows people to take that hammock and that have that relaxation moment on the beach, at the campsite, at the park, or move it around in their home as well. It's a freestanding hammock stand that is the lightest, most portable hammock stand on the market. Comes in a backpack, takes 30 seconds to assemble and disassemble. And it supports our insanely comfy hammock chairs. And so we're just continuing to find more solutions like that. And really the focus is on making it possible for people to actually use our hammocks. And so solving the how to hang issue is the way we do that.
So digging a little bit more on that and the manufacturing side, the original inspiration was these amazing weavers that you've now continued to employ versus going in mass in a factory. But you also moved the production of the hammock throne recently from Asia to the United States following the onshoring movement. How have you balanced those two different approaches, if you will, for the manufacturing world?
So I would say it has been an interesting transition for us to go from a soft goods, artisan-made, woven product to now also introducing this other production process, which is historically more of a factory-based, like furniture-making process. And we went with wood, particularly for the beauty and the aesthetic, but also in that it allows us to work with incredible skilled artisan woodworkers. And with the new factory that we've partnered with in the US to produce the hammock throne, we've actually been able to shift our mission, or our mission has evolved from focusing geographically just in Thailand in this very specific place to now working with artisans in the US as well. And so we're working with American woodworkers to craft the hammock throne.
And one of the things you talked on early is that your selling method when you were launching this business was get somebody to sit in the hammock to try it, and then you'd be able to communicate what really makes it different. This year, you're doing a partnership with Virgin Voyages to put those hammocks in every cabin on the cruise line. How'd that come about, and why was that so important for you to keep driving that trial experience with the hammock?
Yeah, having that partnership has been an incredible unlock for us, and as well as for Virgin Voyages. It's a dream partnership for both, and it's become a staple of that cruise line. Having a hammock on a cruise ship is actually a massive innovation. There's a lot of regulation around what can go on a cruise ship. And they initially reached out to us because they were looking for a partner that fit the values of their brand, which was to create positive impact in the cruise industry and really disrupt the cruise industry. They have a lot of initiatives around environmentalism as well, which is rare in this space, and finding aligned partners that are also creating meaningful impact in the world. And so that was first and foremost for them. And then the second, of course, is design and aesthetic. And they were looking for a partner who can also bring that to the cruise ships, which are designed in a very award-winning way as well. And so once they approached us, the first question they asked, because they already knew about our brand and what we were about, they needed a fireproof yarn, actually, which was crazy and non-existent. And we thought, like, why would anyone even need? It's a weird question to ask because we had never thought of making a fireproof hammock. It's not something people normally ask for. And the reason for that is that there's a lot of regulations. All fabrics on a cruise ship need to be fireproof. And that yarn did not exist at the time. And so I spent about 2 years traveling the world, working with suppliers to create a yarn that was as comfy as our signature yarn, but also fireproof. And so we finally created that and then created this particular hammock that can be specced into the ship from day one. And it is wildly comfortable. People have been able to experience our products firsthand on the ships, and people started asking for the hammocks on the ship. So we've opened up our own retail stores on the cruise ships as well, all based on the positive feedback that Virgin Voyages was receiving and creating this demand. People would try the hammocks and they wanted to bring that vacation feeling home. And it was really an extension of our mission, which is also partly to create that vacation feeling in your everyday life. It's been a huge hit with people on the cruise ships, and now they can continue having those little vacations when they get home as well.
A fireproof yarn sounds like the perfect thing for a bonfire campfire or bonfire hammock as well. So with that in mind, what innovation has been at the core, whether it's the hammock throne, now the fireproof to the Vista, what else is coming up? What's next as you think about the challenges that are holding back from a hammock in every house, and how are you going to help solve that?
We're continuing to focus on hanging solutions and investing into creating innovative products that are unique to Yellowleaf. And make it possible for people to have a hammock wherever they want to relax. And so what that means is we're not going to a factory and taking an existing hammock stand and just putting our label on it, which across the consumer sector, a lot of brands are great at marketing and they take an existing product and maybe make a slight modification to it so that it fits their brand. We've found that existing products on the market just don't solve the how to hang problem, either from an aesthetic standpoint or functionality. And so we're continuing to listen to our customers. And we've been in business for now over 10 years. So we've got a lot of feedback that we've had. And the investment into a lot of the products we're working on, it's several hundred thousand dollars. And that's a lot for a small growing brand like ours. So we're continuing to iterate, design, and look for those hanging solutions for the next Vista. So obviously the Vista is a freestanding hammock chair, working on something for the full-size hammocks as well, and looking at different use cases and how we can make a product that supports having a hammock in those different environments, whether it's, again, the campsite or the living room or the bedroom. And so looking to continue to stay close to our customer and get their feedback and continue to make things that people want and need and are asking for.
That is a perfect place to end the conversation. So I really appreciate you telling the story of what this amazing business you built with Yellow Leaf and the inspiration from a trip to Asia that led to it.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's been an incredible journey and can't wait for what's to come.
Thanks so much for listening. If you like the show, hit that rating and make sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And for more resources, head over to predictingtheturn.com.